Off the Ball. GAA.
And we lost and we were shite. And then Jim Gavin was like, we're having a meeting tomorrow. we were just like, oh, we're not around.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
OTB's The Hurling Pod.
With Bord Gáis Energy. Proud sponsors of the Senior Hurling Championship.
Welcome along. It is the Hurling Pod. It is a case of me handing out homework and the teacher gets trouble about his homework, as you're probably going to hear in a moment. We're going to pick our best 15. This is entirely inspired by a challenge laid down by the Football Pod. I'm not sure exactly how you classify this, but a few weeks ago, they picked their team, had to pick one per county. I'm pretty sure I ended up on a news round with Nathan on a Thursday, and he was like, well, it'll be a bit more difficult with the hurling because it's harder to go down in depth to pick a 15. Why don't the boys do it in the Hurling Pod? And I promised we would do it when we got to the break weekend in the league. So here we are. I did a draft on that night, stuck it into the group, then didn't realise I should have reviewed that draft before it, as you're probably going to hear in a little bit. I believe the guys have already put in wild cards in here or potential wild cards. So I haven't seen their teams so far, but I'm intrigued to see how it's going to work out. And we're also going to talk about Mary I, who stopped UL from doing the treble, beat an all-Limerick final that was played in Kerry on Saturday afternoon. And it's a huge win, particularly for Jamie Wall, who is coaching Mary I at the moment. So he was selector with Eamon Cregan in 16, took over from Cregan in 17, won as manager, and has now won his third and his second as manager, having played for the college some 11 years ago in a Fitzgibbon final as well. So it's a remarkable achievement for them. We'll talk about them upsetting the odds against UL in a moment. But delighted to say, as always, Paul Murphy's here.
How's it going, lads?
And we've got James Skell.
Evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Be honest here now, Skell. How long did you spend thinking about this best 15?
You know, the thing is, like, I got kind of... It's a very, very tricky team to pick. If you asked me to pick the best 15 hurlers in the country at the minute, I'd say I'd fly through it. Mm-hmm. But picking this one from county, and then what happens is I start thinking situational. You know, as if it's going to happen in real life. You know, and look, I know it's to my detriment, lads. I'm sorry, but that's just the way I am. So it's like, if I just take on some team, how are we going to get on? What's our tactics, etc.? So, Will, you had put up a team maybe a week ago or 10 days ago. So my sole focus came on your team. How am I going to beat the shit out of Will's team? That's all I started thinking about. Okay. And I think my team beats your team. Albeit there are some of the same personnel, yes. But only a couple now. But I think I beat you.
Okay. I was going to do the Fitzgibbon first. Let's do the team first. Because this is now opened up.
It's a gauntlet now, Toronto.
It has begun, and I'm intrigued to see where James Gale has gone particularly. So do I have to go first then, considering you were ready to take the piss out of my team? I have to go before you.
You might as well go, because your team is out there in the WhatsApp anyway.
So here's my thinking, directly out of the WhatsApp team.
But before you start now, Will, right? There's an omission on your part now, right?
Yes, there is.
So, and this is always a concern with these type of teams, that you actually forget someone, mm-hmm. right? Forget someone is one thing. But in this type of question, forgetting the county is a different thing. So, William McCallaghan, you forgot Wexford. Right. What have you got against Wexford?
I was in Wexford at the weekend. I was having pints with John Aldridge at the Wexford Republic of Ireland Supporters Club.
And how did you forget Wexford of all counties then?
I was getting ready to go there probably when I was writing this list or thinking about it at the time. I think what happened, right, and I'll reveal the team in a second, is that I was trying to go... This is at least my methodology. I wanted to put on each line of the pitch, where possible, someone who's hurling in the Liam McCarthy, and then try and pick someone in the line, for the best part, who's hurling outside the Liam McCarthy. So I'd have a Liam McCarthy player, potentially with two non-Liam McCarthys. Thinking about this, of course, I started doing a scale on it, overthinking it. And then at one point, I had written down, definitely on a sheet of paper, Rory O'Connor, Lee Chin. Wasn't quite sure which I was going to pick for my forwards. Ended up putting in, I think it could have been Conor Whelan or Donald Burke at that point. And at that stage, I forgot to go back to Wexford. I put in a team in the Liam McCarthy, I think from every other county, but Wexford. Then, of course, smart arse Paul Murphy, about a few minutes before we came on air, went, yeah, show us your team there again, will you? And then, unfortunately, stole Scale's thunder somewhat by going, you do realise you haven't put a Wexford player in there.
Well, Scale should have told me this. He should have texted me before to say if he wanted to keep this under wraps to hop off you. But, like... I was actually, now you were calling me smart arse. I did you a favour, Will.
Oh, you did? Oh, no, I'm very thankful for it.
Now you're blindly walking into an ambush. Now,
I actually think indirectly it tells the story of the differing personalities between Murph and I. I was ready to hang you on air, I recall. Okay. And Murph said, no, I wouldn't do it to him. where I had that.
He's had enough now, considering he forgot to record there about 2 weeks ago. I couldn't. Could be the breaking of the man if I did it.
This is true. See, my thinking was the other way around as well. I was actually trying to find a way to pick some of the best hurlers outside of the McCarthy Cups. This is where I thought this experiment was interesting. And I was trying to go, right, where am I going to get two or three of the very best from outside in? And then I'll worry about the Lee McCarthy players afterwards. I have a feeling that Scale may well have retrofitted his team to beat the weaknesses of my team. But we'll see now in a second. So will I start and say who I've got in?
Yeah, rock on.
All right, okay. So in goal, man who got his 100th appearance for Laois a couple of weeks ago when they beat Kildare, Enda Rowland, who's very good, All-Star nominee. He gives you not just very good goalkeeping skills, he's got one of the best puckouts in the game, and he's a threat when it comes to frees and penalties. He can hit long-range frees, scored a goal from play.
I was going to say, scored a goal
last year as well. Yeah, so Enda Rowland, I think, is a good, solid choice, especially when you're going outside the very, very top tier. I've gone with a guy who's marked Canning, who's marked a lot of the big players, definitely against Seamus Callanan. I think he took up Jason Ford in another game when they were playing. And generally, he does very well. Played excellently for Westmeath when he came back for his first game back when they played Limerick just before the break as well. So I'm putting Tommy Doyle of Westmeath in at number three. I'm putting one of Merce's favourite players in a cornerback in Paddy Burke, who I think can hurl further out but can definitely play a cornerback and is a fantastic hurler. So he's my antrim selection. I've put a guy who did really well on Lee Chin when he played in the half-back line a couple of weeks ago in Ben Keneally of Offaly, who's going to be my cornerback. So the former Offaly captain, he's played Shinty for Ireland as well. He's definitely would be, I think, in very good company at the very, very top flight. So that's my full back line and goalkeeper. We come out slightly, so for Waterford, and I'm not sure who's going to play at six in this half-back line, because they can all play across the half-back line. I've got Tadhg De Burke of Waterford, I've got Fiona McKessie of Kerry, and I've got Kieran Joyce of Cork. So that completes my back six. I hummed and hawed about Tipperary, and I was very tempted to put even the in-vogue Tipperary player in Garrod O'Connor into my forward line at one point, but I decided to go with Noel McGrath Tip in with Keane Lynch of Limerick. I've got a half-forward line, Tony Kelly of Clare. Lee Chin of Wexford has now gone in. I did have Pierce Oak McCrickard of Down in there at one point at wing forward, but Lee Chin can move to 11 after Paul helped me out. And Donal Burke is going to play in the other wing. And I've got an inside forward line, Carlo's record scorer of all time in Marty Kavanagh. And in the two corners, I'm going for Owen Cody and Conor Whelan. So that's going to be my 15.
Okay.
That's strong.
Team. As you were naming your team, I think I have, which is going to happen here. It's going to be guys that are going to overlap. So I actually have five guys overlapped with you.
I have a bit here now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
While you're counting the numbers, the one thing I wanted to get away from was potentially another way you could do the method on this, where you could absolutely stack it by, say, picking all of the best forwards from the top few counties and going,
that's where I started.
Forwards and we'll win.
Well, good shout, Will. Yeah. That's where I started. And I thought, no. Think of my NFL days. Defense wins championships, lads, right? So I said, I need to find a bit of a balance here. So right. The team I picked, right, we can run at you. Okay. We can win the ball high. And we can... What are you laughing at, Murph? We can
run at you. We can hit...
We can win the ball high. We can go short. We can go long. We can shoot from distance. And we can score goals, right? So in the role is in goals as well, okay?
Okay.
My full back line is Owen O'Donnell, Tommy Doyle, Sean Finn. Automatically, you're saying, hold on a second, he's used his Limerick card in the fullback.
Big call.
That's a huge call. Now, my big call is coming in a few minutes, right? Halfback line, I think this isn't too bad now. It's Tadhg De Burke, Kieran Joyce, Killian Kiley.
Okay.
Yeah. Kiley can go midfield, forwards, in the halfback line. So I'm pitching him in the.
So you're sound like a manager now, Scott. You're saying, Kiley, you have a free license. You have a license to roam. Go where you want there. You feel that out there, right?
So but he can. So he's like, he's multi directional. He can go. Now, this is the tricky one now, right? Tricky one.
There's some of these boys running one direction, are they? They can only go in one direction. Killing Kiley is multi directional. All right, go on.
It's not enough to have a plan A. You have to have plan B, C, C, and D as well, okay?
Right. Okay, go on.
So this is one now that could get me in a bit of bother. So I have Shane Conway midfield from Kerry and Dave Fitzgerald from Clare. So I haven't put in Tony Kelly. You know, obviously I haven't put in one of the Limerick big hitters because I can't exactly.
Yeah.
But where I've bought myself a pick. So half forward line. This is a tank half forward line. So I've Garrett O'Connor from Tip in wing forward. Johnny Glynn from New York centre forward, and I've Adrian Mullen from Kilkenny, the other wing, right?
So you just went over that you hadn't just brought Johnny Lynn into the equation. Just yeah, all right, go on.
Yeah, well, like if you look at GA.ie, right, he's currently a New York player. So yeah, so you can't take that off me.
I'm aware.
Then in the full forward, I have Conal Cunning, corner forward. I have Rory O'Connor, full forward. He's from Wexford, Will.
I heard of the county. Yeah, I'm familiar.
And then I have Conor Whelan, another corner.
Not for me to rule this out of order, because the minute I heard Johnny Glenn, it was like, it's happening again, kind of flashed through my mind.
Deja vu, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't play in the Connacht Development League, though, did he?
No, injured.
So is he actually eligible for this?
Injured.
That's a lie.
I have no idea he's injured. Okay, I was trying to get an excuse myself.
I think he's allowed, though. He's a club member of New York, so, like, yeah, I think he's allowed. I'm happy. Any Johnny Lynn contribution, I think.
Look, Will, in fairness, Will, right? You didn't
I see this as a Shawnee Johnson situation. I think you need Glynn to play for the New York Hurlers before he can actually be declared a New York Hurler, technically.
No, listen to me now. You didn't even pick a Wexford originally, so there was no way you were going to think of Johnny Lynn. Right? You're just angry because you didn't pick him first, right?
it's not your night, Will, to be throwing stones, to be fair.
No, go on.
So I think, like, Murph, okay, being the neutral here, or semi-neutral, whose team wins there?
Ah, Jesus, I can't call that straight off the top now. Let me see. But, like, you were kind of saying that you went based off what Will picked. So you saying that if Will hadn't put out his team first, you would have went for something different. Like, you would have picked a completely different team.
Will kind of, you led me in a direction, right? And as you're leading me in a direction, I said, you know what? My team is coming together nicely. So then I said, right, if in the event we had someone who stacked the forwards, right, with tier one counties, I could still beat you. Like, my forwards here, right, look at the size of them. So, like, O'Connor, Glynn, Mullen, Cunning, O'Connor, Whelan. That's a fair number for forward line. And there's pace and power in that. And dead ball specialists in every line.
You probably have too many dead ball specialists.
I have
Rory O'Connor, I have Cunning, I have Garrett O'Connor, I have Shane Conway, I have Kylie. I have a coverage. I have Inder Roland.
I'd say Garrett O'Connor would take the freeze.
Yes, definitely. And sidelines after yesterday.
Mm. Yeah.
You probably let Roland or Kylie hit them long distance. So you've got a bit of a mix there. Like, none of us are going to be short of free takers.
I'm under pressure on midfield. I won't lie, I'm under pressure midfield.
Why are you under pressure?
I'm under a bit of pressure because you've got Keane Lynch and Owen McGrath and two dynamos there. But we have to run at you. Gotta get you going back to your own goals, man.
Yeah, right. So Sean Finn, why pick Sean Finn when you could have went for one of the Limerick players further out? Now, that's no shade on Sean Finn at all, but why'd you pick him?
So I listed all the counties, okay? And then I picked the best hurler. I listed all the counties and then I picked the best hurler from the tier two counties. Or probably, let's say, outside of number one to call it 12, 10, right? I picked every other county out of that and the hurler. And then when I started inputting them, I picked two or three options of each. It kind of came together by itself. And then I said, you know what, Sean Finn, someone's going to put in Owen Cody. Someone's going to put in, you know, that needs a bit of mark and a Galan or something. So I said, I'll demand for you. So I said, Sean Finn, in you go there. If you're though. So yeah, Sean Finn is going straight on Owen Cody. And then Owen O'Donnell is going on Conor Whelan. He's had good battles with him. Tommy Doyle will take care of Marty Kavanagh. Won't they? Will.
They'll play each other. Mike Conor Whelan.
I love the way that you're just like, you're just black and white. Yeah, sure, Tommy Doyle, yeah, he's going to get rid of Marty Kavanagh. Then you have Sean Finn. Yeah, Sean Finn. Yeah, sure, he'll just get rid of it. Like, you're just, there's no even argument here. You just have yourself convinced that, oh, this is black and white.
Convinced is the word, yeah, but I just think it's belief, Murph. It's absolute belief in my guys. But then turn it around, right? So in one breath, I'm saying Sean Finn's going to take care of Conor Whelan for me, right? But then my Conor Whelan, right, he's going to get, you know, 1-4 off Ben Keneally. Tough.
1-4.
Gee whiz, right?
Very scientific there.
I think Colin Cunning is going to have a training match against Paddy Burke. And he's going to do it for me. That's it.
What happens if Keneally switches sides and the two Antrim boys don't go up against each other?
Ah, tomato, tomato.
That's not how that's meant to be used.
Well, same thing.
I'm not sure this was exactly how this segment was meant to go, but here we are. Murph, do you want to do your team? And then we can throw around. Because the one thing I will admit on the Sean Finn thing, when I was thinking about Limerick, there was definitely part of me that was incredibly tempted to just put Galan in. Because if you look at Galan's form over the last few years, now look, I am a massive Keane Lynch fan, so naturally I just kind of, I go for Lynch. For me, Lynch is the team that I would build a team around if we did one of your hypothetical draft and whatever else. But there's an argument to say that Galan might be the most effective pick, because you put him in there, he's going to be a huge danger. Maybe then you can even put in an extra half forward or an extra midfielder, because you could put one up with Galan with everything that he does. So I don't know, maybe Galan is in your team, maybe he's not. Take it away, Paul, let's see where you are.
So I counted maybe 8 or so, the same as yours, Will, could be more. Oh. I lost track with Skettle, to be honest, because I was trying to just keep track of his team. So, right, Enderolan in the goal. I think that's a clean sweep for Enderolan, is it? Did you have Enderolan and Skettle? Yeah.
Yeah, I did, sorry, yeah.
Full back line. Tommy Doyle, Hugh Lawler, Paddy Burke. Again, I suppose looking at Hugh Lawler there, you might have been thinking might pop Owen Cody in there or someone maybe further up. But I just think the full back position, number 3 itself, is a tough position to fill. So I think it was kind of between him and Doughty Burke.
Jeez, that's interesting now.
I'm shocked you didn't pick another person, because I put him on the bloody thumbnail as well. But anyway,
I saw you put him on the thumbnail, and I said, that's very presumptuous of you. Like, at the end of the day, this team, the one thing I noticed about this team is that, let's say you take Hugh Lawler out of there and you go, right, Doughty Burke. It now changes, it affects your forwards, then, because now suddenly Conor Whelan, right, have revealed a full forward. Conor Whelan is now out. So now you have to go, right, now it's not that big of a shift. But that's what I thought the dynamic of this is actually very good, because you take out one player, but actually somewhere else it affects somewhere else as well. Anyway, I think that's a very strong full back line. Anyway, Tommy Doyle, Hugh Lawler, Paddy Burke. Half back line, Killeen Kiely, Kieran Joyce, Fionnuala Mackesy. I think quite similar to yours as well, Will.
So Kieran Joyce is across all three teams. Tommy Doyle is across all three teams. And then
Killeen Kiely is, he is on two of our teams anyway. Fionnuala Mackesy's on two teams.
Yeah.
And then we have Tony Kelly and Lee Chin midfield. Half forward line then, I have Donal Burke, Keane Lynch, and Garrod O'Connor. And then full forward line, I have Marty Kavanagh, Conor Whelan, Desi Hutchinson.
Shout.
I kind of wanted, like I was saying, Desi Hutchinson there from the Watford pick.
You're not hurling about midfield like last year, are you?
No. Couldn't do that. In fairness, he's very much in a Ballygunner role here now. This is on the edge of the D, landing balls in front of him, let him pick it up, little bit of a side shuffle, pop it over the bar. If I was going to detail the way Skettle goes into detail, that's what I want from here. Conor Whelan is in a full forward, bulldozing lads, coming out, winning balls, popping balls over. And then Marty Kavanagh is, actually you're saying about Aaron Gillan, Marty Kavanagh does that kind of a role where Marty Kavanagh drifts along and will pick up, let's say if you're landing ball there on Conor Whelan, you have two sharp lads who are, I suppose, proven not only point scorers but goal scorers there, Desi Hutchinson and Marty Kavanagh off the shoulder. That's my team. I'm actually very confident in that team, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think so. Nice balance.
Pick up the Garrod O'Connor point here, because Nash was almost on Friday, and he coached him the last couple of years at UL and was talking about like how he's developed and how it's not a case of we should be waiting for him to explode. He is ready for this summer to kind of lead Tipperary into the next cycle for that team, and he can be their key forward, even when we are talking about, say, forward coming back in for Championship. Like, what's impressed you so much about Garrod O'Connor so far that both of you have picked him? And I know at least I thought about it quite a bit before putting McGrath into my team. I was going to put O'Connor in as my other Tipperary choice. So all three of us have been impressed. What's impressed you about him, Murph?
Look, I suppose he's had a flawless start to this year. I mean, both from a Tipperary point of view and then from a Fitzgibbon point of view. For me, when I was looking at it from a Tipperary point of view, there was three lads I was looking at. It was Jason Ford himself or Ronan Maher. So I was kind of looking somewhere around there. Like, I mean, Ronan Maher can play full back to wing back for you. So, but then I was just saying to Garrod O'Connor, I was like, okay, right, he's had a few good weeks. Does that mean he comes ahead of Jason Ford? But like, in fairness to him, you can just see the class that's in him. Like, he is an exceptional hurler. Like, you even see the scores he was getting at the weekend, you know, popping up with a goal as well. You know, what did he score the week previous? Was it maybe 1-8 or so against Galway? Maybe 1-10. But like,
there's 1-10, yeah.
Yeah, just the numbers he's racking up is serious. But from his open play as well, like, you know, from open play, he's not just contributing like as a free taker. In open play, we saw him, and we spoke about it last week, where he almost has an Austin Deason type style to him, that he's very much just reading the game in front of him and has a few flicks and tricks. You know, he's not he's not a very beige hurler. Like he's a lot of colour to his play. And even just, you know, at this time of the year, you don't really associate with lads being stylish and a lot of stylish hurling. So I'm expecting, you know, once the ground firms up and we get the bit of dry weather, that you'll really start to see few of Garota Connor's stylish flicks and tricks and, you know, really getting to open up the shoulder. So, look, the vein of form he's in at the moment. 3 man in the matches in a week across Tipperary and Fitzgibbon. So I just think at the moment it's like, feck it, go on form into the team.
Yeah, we'll talk about the fits in a bit more detail, Skell, in a little bit. But like in a way, that speaks to how well Mary I were able to kind of shut down the space against UL at the weekend. That, look, even at that, their star forward still sparkled from time to time. Adam Hogan had a particularly good game for Mary I, but that Garota Connor maybe didn't get the space that he would have had a week before. Actually, Mary I did a really good job on him at the weekend.
They did a reasonable job, in fairness to him. I think the goal was all he got from play, but he still contributed an awful lot. And it kind of leads into Murph's point when you're looking at him, you know, even from a Tipperary perspective, you're kind of, in the absence of the Seamus Canlins and potentially the Jason Forces, you're looking for someone to make an impact immediately. And Garrett Connor, I know he's been here over the last year or two, but he looks like a guy now who can be, extremely effective for Tipperary. Not just a guy who'd be the number four, number five for them, but he's potentially to be the number 1/2 forward. Because he's a big man. He's physical under a puck out. He's got deceptively quicker than I thought. He finds himself all over the pitch, so he's reading the game very well, and he's a dead ball specialist. So if you've got a dead ball specialist who can contribute from up play like he does, that's super, you know. And like, if a team can nullify a player of Garrett O'Connor's, I suppose, ability from open play to a goal, you know, in a final, that's a testament to their effort. Now, Mary I were really good, and they were vigorous. It was kind of like I probably class it as a workmanlike performance. They really outworked, dogged everything. You know, and they were fully deserving for the victory. It wasn't the greatest game by all. There was a bit of drama, obviously, obviously well pegging back Mary I. But like for Mary I to kind of, you know, stop the forward line, if you will, that's a feat in itself. You know, because you look through that, and even the subs that come in, you're talking serious quality from most counties. Not just serious quality, you're talking potentially one of the best forwards in each county. You know what I mean? So you go to Mark Rogers, the captain. You go to Adam English, who played unreal for Limerick there 2 weeks ago. You go through to Garrett O'Connor, we just spoke about. Then you go Sean O'Hanlon, who's playing with Galway, etc. So there's guys there who are contributing heavily to inter-county senior teams, and the Mary I group did very, very well. So fully deserving for the victory, and happy to see the 3 in a row stopped as an LIT man. I just got to throw it out there.
Yeah, I had a feeling you would. We'll get back in a bit more detail about the fits in a little bit. But right, let's look at the players we all picked then. What's good about Andrew Rowland, Skell, that we've all picked him?
There's two things, I suppose. Like, for the way the game has evolved now, rule number one is the goalie stopped the ball. So he's well able to do that. You know, he's a good shot stopper. He's safe with hands. He's safe from open play. And then if you can get a goalkeeper who can contribute, as we saw with Jason Glenn yesterday, from dead ball perspective, and has the range of puck out, they can go short or go long, you know, you're just kind of adding a string to your bow as a goalie. You know, so like if you're looking, particularly for this exercise, you've got a guy who can play all facets of the game. As I said, he can go short, he can range mid-third, and he can go long. And so if you've got, you know, conditions by your side, you've got a scoring threat inside your own 30. Like I think he's scored a puck out before, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, he's pucked over a few. He scored a goal from a puck out last year.
Yeah. And the thing is that he doesn't get kind of succumbed to that. Sometimes you get people who look at their strengths and just keep going with their strengths. Like he is able to hit the 60-yard pass that most senior county goalies can do nowadays. So like it's in his range. So if you've got someone like him, you can utilize different types of personnel in different areas. So you can go with the big man on the edge of the square and go long, real, real long. Or you can go with smaller guys and puck in front of them with a large stretch of shot. So like he has that. And again, like we've seen shot stopping ability from him. I don't mean this in a bad way, but because he's been, you know, playing against really good counties over the last number of years, he gets a lot of work. Do you know what I mean? So like we've seen, it's a bit like back in the days of James McGarry and PG Ryan. They used to never get all-stars, you know, because they didn't get the work because the cleaning backline was so good. But unfortunately for Inda, he gets the work, you know, and that's why he gets to showcase his skills an awful lot, in fairness. I don't mean that in a bad way. You know exactly what point I'm trying to make.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So like he gets to showcase it a lot, which some days he might like, other days I'd say he doesn't.
Sometimes you prefer to be a bit less busy and wing and get wins on the board as opposed to that. We've probably reached the point, Murph, when it comes to Tommy Doyle then, where for a long time people were saying this guy is the most underrated hurler around. Yeah, I think he's perfectly rated now, given all three of us have picked him, and there wasn't an eyelid that was batted when we put him into all three teams.
No, and I think where maybe people say that he's underrated is in terms of the general public, that his name just wouldn't be out there as much as other players. But for anybody who follows hurling in any great detail, everybody knows about Tommy Doyle, you know, and I think he does get the respect amongst hurling people that he deserves. I mean, he's put in some serious performances over the years, and, you know, we've spoken about him on the podcast on days where Westmeath have had a tough day, but a shining light in the middle of it was him shutting down a serious inter-county player, like, you know, a Peter Duggan or someone. And he's done seriously good jobs. And I think the likes of those efforts that he's had, like, I mean, I remember reading articles and stuff as well where, you know, he kind of, Westmeath drew a bit of inspiration from a few of his performances, you know, days where they were expecting maybe to take a bit of a beating. Tommy Doyle has a really strong performance at full back, which is a very unforgiving position. And it's almost as if Westmeath drew a bit from that. So, like, to inspire your team from a full back, from number three, while you're marking, you know, a serious inter-county player, regardless of, you know, whatever team he's playing, that's a testament to how good he really is. And we've definitely mentioned it some of the days where we said that he would probably get into most teams in the country. Let's say at his peak, you know, barring Limerick, you know, there was every team in the country would look at Tommy Doyle and say he would have a place, and his game would come on even that bit more if he was playing, you know, on your Galways or Tipperary's as well. But no, like, I mean, like you said, we didn't even bat an eye there when we all threw him in there. He's an obvious choice, and he's, look, an all-around great hurler. Born in any county, he would make the majority of inter-county teams.
We've already had the explanation there, Skell, from Murph, as to why Mikey Butler has not been picked. His clubmate and county mate Hugh Lawler has been picked a fullback instead.
I don't think I explained that, did I? Is it an explanation was given? I'm putting words in my mouth here. I picked Hugh Lawler.
You explained why you picked Hugh Lawler, so therefore that explained why Mikey Butler wasn't there. Was there any temptation to put him in? I'm kind of worried that what might happen now is, because you knew that we would have went, you know, ding, or you would have heard the pen going off the minute that we actually mentioned Mikey Butler's name, that you actually talked yourself out of picking him as a result.
Maybe I wanted to show my depth of knowledge for hurling that I don't just talk about Mikey Butler. I don't know. But certainly when you put up, it was in my mind when you put it up on the thumbnail, and you were like, oh, we'll definitely pick one of these players. And there was three players on that. Can you remember who the other two were? It was like Mikey Butler. I was like, lads, come on. give me some sort of...
Keane Lynch, Dahi Burke, and Mikey Butler, I think.
But that was... No, genuinely, I thought part of that was like, okay, let's say when you're approaching this team, I wrote down 15 numbers and I went, okay, well, who's in here? I went, Conor Whelan, right? Conor Whelan's just in there. Because I was like, do you pick him over Dahi Burke, who for me was the next player? And I was like, well, you have Hugh Lawler there. So for me, there was probably only a few players that you could pick a full back. Whereas there's other players there, centre forward. There was probably maybe 8-9 players where you could pick for centre forward. Full back, like, you're genuinely saying it, not saying it as a cornerback, but, like, it's a tough position to pick. And I think it's an important position to have someone, like, for Kilkenny at the moment, they don't really think of the full back position, who's going to be there this year. You know, you have someone in Hugh Lawler. Similar, like, you know, Limerick have the same thing, where they're like, okay, we have a few players who actually could play there. But, you know, for counties there who don't maybe have a full back or are trying lads in different positions, like, that can be very unsettling for a team. So I was like, okay, well, I want solid decisions here. And one of the solid decisions for me has been Hugh Lawler. You know, often not spoken about, but I think he's, like, the last 2 years, the all-star fullback, went under serious competition there and for the fullback position over the last few years. So, yeah, he was my option. And then Owen Cody, of course, I was thinking of Owen Cody. I was like, yeah, but there's so many options in the forwards as well that you maybe have a bit more leeway with the forwards to pick a few other lads from other counties, whereas the other counties maybe don't have as many really stellar backs. So that was kind of, that's where my decision came in.
Well, screw you. He's staying on the thumbnail because it's far too nice to attract people.
That's going to be very misleading. Like, he's not going to be... The only reason he's mentioned is because he's actually not in a team.
Yeah. trust me, I was very tempted at one stage to put in Johnny Glynn. And then I thought, there's no way he's
going to... There's no way.
But here we are. I don't know. Maybe we've not talked about enough about that scale as the way you've snuck him in. I mean, you've snuck him in here because he's a freebie, isn't it?
Yeah, basically, I bought a position and bought a really good hurler. Without sacrificing one of the tier one counties, I won't lie. The biggest actually issue I had was who to pick from Limerick. Like, I tied around with Keane Lynch, Kyle Hayes. I just didn't know who to pick. And then I went back to your team and said, you know what, I put in Sean Finn and that'll settle that. Simple as that. But like, I did the same exercise you, Murph. I listed out two or three players from each county and then tried to circle them together. And what really stands out to you is you could pick three different sets of forwards, you know? Yeah. The backs and midfield was a different proposition entirely. I think Andrew Rowland kind of selected himself for that purpose.
Yeah.
You know, fair. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but if in going up against others, there's no one from the outfield that leash stood out to me. You know what I mean? And then I could utilise other people from Westmead, Offaly, Kerry, then have them sacrifice a goalie, etc. So, yeah, the forwards was a simple one. And Mike Butler, I thought about it, but I said, no, I'm not doing it because I don't want to give Murph the satisfaction of putting in that man into that team. So I'm avoiding that.
So he's losing out because you don't want to give satisfaction to me, is it?
That's right. Yeah. That's exactly what I just said. Yeah. That's what I'm going with.
That's grand.
But I am terribly surprised how you put in Hugh Lawler, fullback, didn't put in Tommy, and then a fullback, and didn't let out your friend Mikey. I'm very surprised. But
yeah.
I think Hugh Lawler is my friend as well. I'd like to consider Hugh Lawler a friend also.
I think, yeah. Well, sorry. You're Mikey Booker's number one fan, right? So. I think it's a sign of growth, Murph.
We were actually at Richie Reid's wedding before Christmas, and I actually thought Mikey was there, and I was like, is this going to be weird now? Does he know that you slagged me about this now? I'm sure he does at this stage, but I was like, right. Okay. If he does know about it, he played it off anyway, so I followed him for the night. No.
I'm not going to lie, I went up to chat to him after the Leinster club semi-final, and it was part of me kind of worried, going, does he think that we're taking the piss out of him, or does he realise we're taking the piss out of Murph here?
Not at all.
Very, very nice lad. I think it was the first time I'd spoken to him outside of maybe an All-Stars do a few years ago, and that was about it. So
yeah,
there you go. Mikey took it all in good spirits.
I think to settle this, we have to establish a poll to the public whose team wins.
Okay, I can stick a poll. I can stick a poll into definitely the Spotify, because that comes up when I upload it. And I think I can put a poll onto the YouTube in the comments as well.
Right. I didn't know you could do a poll on Spotify.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. Apparently, everyone leaves it by default. What do you think of this podcast? So someone can just write a comment and go, I thought this podcast was shit or whatever else.
Okay.
While if we put a poll in and go, just the three teams, sure, we'll see. We'll see who votes and go for
it. See what happens.
Yeah, exactly. That brings you around nicely to the comments, by the way. This is the Hurling Pod on Off the Ball. It is with thanks to Borgosh Energy, proud sponsors of the Senior Hurling Championship. There were a few comments in from last week, which I plucked out of the YouTube. We'll talk about the hand pass. So from Michael Cody 828, ban the hand pass, it's ruining the game, they keep throwing the ball. Came off the back of the discussion where we were chatting about the comments from Barry Kelly last week where he thought 75% of hand passes were illegal. So I spoke to another former All-Ireland referee in Brian Gavin a little bit earlier, and I'll play a clip of that. And I'm going to put the full piece of Brian Gavin up as, I think we'll put up as a bonus pod, maybe as a free bonus pod for this week, because I chatted to him about the refereeing standards and the fitness tests and how it could be that 12 or 13 referees had failed the first time round, and next thing the football referees go to Mallow and a whole load of them pass, and there's football referees around, and apparently this weekend some of the hurling referees were going back through the assessment again, and it's believed the pass rate was much higher. So I'll ask him about that, whether that's the right testing with the bleep test currently. We'll talk about a few things like that, but I'm going to play the bit with the hand pass in a few minutes from Brian as well, who is, spoilers, supportive of the Tipperary motion, which is going forward to Congress at the end of this month. Call McCarthy 9937's got good news for you, Skell. The holidays get better the older they get. And that's not the holiday itself. That's when the kids get older. Apparently holidays are going to be far better for you.
Mm-hmm. And obviously my wife listened to the podcast there of last week.
I bet she loved that.
She took issue with one thing. Just one thing. Well, the fact that I mentioned we weren't going on holidays this year or next year. So what did she do? She reliably informed me yesterday, or was the day previous, that she's gone on to, what's that thing, booking.com or whatever it is, and booked three different places that you can cancel within 24 hours.
Yeah.
So she goes, it's done. It's like, gosh. didn't confer, like, you know, that's what I'm up against, lads. That's what I'm up against.
Do we get to find out what the three places are? Because I kind of want to take part in this now.
I want to find out. Actually, I didn't ask her. I just asked her for the timelines. When are they? And she goes, one is, I think it's August or September, right in the middle of club championship, like, you know, smack in the middle of it. Like, I thought she'd know me at this stage. So that one has to get cancelled straight away.
Deposit or order. A club not too far away from yourselves in Galway, you probably wouldn't have been allowed to do that. But anyway.
Yeah. You know, and God knows where she picked it. You know, that's the kind of thing, don't get me wrong, she's the best in the world. But if you let her off, she'd book you to Fiji. Not for 3 weeks, you know what I mean? Go side. You're safe. You know what I'm talking about, lads. But I'll take your word for it. Cotton McCarthy 9937. They get older as they get better. Because it couldn't be much worse than it was.
Give me your full title, Cahill. Yeah. Conor Phelan, or it could be Conor Phelan, given I reckon he's from Kilkenny direction. Nothing better than stealing an undeserving win down in Cork. So that was Kilkenny's win last week. I don't know if undeserving was fair, but there you go.
Was it undeserving? Sure, they led most of the game. They led the whole game, actually. Sorry, yeah.
No, I think Cork went ahead once in the second half, but it never really...
Sorry.
Even like during Cork's good period, they never really got out to any kind of lead, and Kilkenny were right there all throughout. And the other one comes up a lot, which is Keith Scanlon, 14. They hate Clare, always have. They never talk about them. Same old story. We talk about Clare all the time. So that first part is wide of the mark, right? I guarantee they will say Clare won't get out of Munster again like last year. Ha ha. So, I don't know. Paul Murphy, if you want to take this one up first, because Gael has taken it in the neck from Clare fans in person, I think, when they were hammering Waterford a couple of years ago and they were qualifying. Do you actually harbour any ill will towards Clare?
Well, I would be friendly with Podge Collins, and I also have kept in contact with likes of John Conlon over the years. I was away years ago on a GA trip with John Conlon, so get on really well with him. So it's going to be tough news for the boys that I actually hate them than just being friendly with the fans. No, I don't hate Clare. I would say that... Sorry, what was the name again?
Keith.
Keith. I'd say Keith now, if Keith did a test on bias, he's probably a little bit more biased towards Clare, and that when he hears something negative, he probably construes that as we hate them. I would like to think we're trying to be fairly balanced. I would have thought over the years Cork fans would have had more of a reason maybe to think that we were being hard on them over a few of the years. I would have, again, thought we were being fair at the time. But I think we've been really fair to Clare. Granted, I hold my hands up. I thought they wouldn't maybe get out of Munster last year. I do think they'll get out of it this year. I know we'll get on to that come the championship stage.
Don't commit to that, Murph, right now. Like, players could get injured between now and then. You don't have to say they're going to get...
Well, from what I'm saying, from now. Yeah. From now, I do think they're going to get... But no, like, I mean, we don't hate Clare. Jesus Christ. Like, sure, I mean, they're one of the most entertaining teams to watch. But would it be fair to say, we've noticed some people think that we do hate them. We have seen that quite a bit, where some people say that we dislike them or that we're unfair on Clare. It's maybe probably more... A fair reflection is that people have been saying we're unfair, but I don't think so. Like, we've said a real lot of positive stuff about Brian Lowen in terms of what he's done, in terms of particularly during COVID there as well, when he was dealt a few blows, when they played was at Wexford, and he had to, two of his players were down as close contacts, and he was throwing a few rough deals around then. When he deployed John Conlon at centre back, he was getting a bit of a hard time. They lost to Antrim up in Corrigan Park, and he turned it around, and I think we're really complimentary. But like, we've been, I think, really complimentary of Clare's style as well. So I think that's probably... that's not fair to say. I don't dislike Clare. I have great...
No, and to be fair, two Clare supporters actually came in and defended you underneath that and went...
Oh yeah, grand.
All right. They got it wrong about the qualification, but I don't think they've ever shown any kind of hatred towards the team. So
no, well, like, I mean, at the end of the day, you have to pick teams. And like, if we're saying, right, who's going to win Leinster? Okay, let's say, who's going to win Munster? If you pick one team, it doesn't mean you hate the rest of the teams. You just have to pick a team to go with it. If you have picked three teams that are going to come out of Munster, unfortunately, there's two counties that you're going to have to leave behind. It doesn't mean you hate them. It just means that, based on current statistics and analysis, you don't think they're going to come out of the province. But
Do you think when we assess them as a whole, like, we're very favourable towards them? We never question the manager because we all like him. We don't only question their tactics. We don't question their personnel. You know, the only things we question, I find, is specific incidents. You know, so we might look at Jimber Hegarty getting sent off with Arden Fitzgerald, is that his name? You know, the decision with John Conlon and Tony Kelly in the semi-finals versus, you know, Kilkenny. We might look at certain things, refereeing decisions in certain games, and that can be viewed as us as bias. And look, there are some people probably in Clare who would like this pod to be called the Banner Pod. You know, that's just, but you get them in every county. There's someone in Galway the same way in Cork, that the minute you speak ill of any incident or game or result, they think, you're turning against the whole county. No, couldn't be further from the truth.
No.
Like, we said now Clare are in a win now more because they have the group, they have the players, and they've got a season manager behind them. So if that constitutes hate, I don't know. I must really hate Chip Reardon in. That's the case. It should be. You know, I'm joking. Before you go any further, I'm joking. Jesus, you know. Give relax. Where's sarcasm gone these days? Where has it gone?
Yeah, and like I think that is the key point. 2 weeks ago, we sat here in this podcast. This just Kyle wasn't here. And we were talking about the fact that Clare's stick for achievement is higher than the vast, vast majority of teams because they beat Limerick, because they've been to two All-Ireland semi-finals, because they've been so close to Munster. We are holding Clare to the standard that Clare should be competing to try and win two major trophies this summer. I think that's the ultimate compliment you can give any team. That's also, it doesn't mean we're not talking about them. That means we're saying, do you know what, Clare are really, really good. And we're interested to see how these young players get integrated throughout the league because it's going to add to their panel. I don't think at any point do we go, we're not going to talk about Clare this week.
Yeah, I mean, and maybe as well, some people have said that, or might look to say that we said Kilkenny were the second team probably in Ireland. There was debate over that. But you see, Austin Deason...
in the All-Ireland final.
Yeah, but Austin Deason did an interview there during the week and he was asked who is the second team in the country that potentially could go and beat Limerick. And he picked Kilkenny. Like, so, I mean, there again, Austin Deason has no... Like, I mean, if anything, he should have a dislike for Kilkenny. We're neighbours, you know. But, yeah... Do you know, look, here, you have to stand by what we said, and I think we've been fair at all times.
Say like Emma Dunphy, we were wrong, here's why we were wrong. And then Kilkenny won two semi-finals against them, and Kilkenny were in the league final last year, and they were in the All-Ireland final. All right, they didn't beat Limerick on those occasions, but they've been the closest to them, based on all the evidence, even if Clare beat them earlier in the championship. So you can argue about second or third. I'm sure everyone in Limerick doesn't give a square S about who's second or third when they're sitting number one at the moment. Right, let's have a look at some of the scenes here because I wanted to pull up a little bit of this from the end of the Fitzgibbon Cup final after Mary I got the win. So this is from Higher Education GAA's video afterwards. Jerome Quinn was doing the video for them. There's something quite novel. We might talk about the venue in a second, Skell, about having a kind of a club GAA ground for the end of the Fitzgibbon, but I think this is quite beautiful. Obviously, the enjoyment the guys are getting, who know they're probably never going to play against alongside each other again if they're in their final year particularly. It's an all-Limerick final that Mary I have just come through. And like, you can't but love these moments here with two cousins chatting to each other on the sideline and embracing with Podge Collins and with Jamie Wall. Because I was reading last week, Kieran Shannon, the great piece in The Examiner, where these two lads used to go to their grandparents' farm at one point and basically imagine that they were playing All-Ireland football and hurling finals against each other. And here they are now as part of a management team with the Mary I team who didn't go too well the last couple of years. And now here they are as champions of the Fitzgibbon again. There's something quite lovely about that story, isn't there?
I kind of think, I don't want to overstate this and I don't want it to be offensive anymore, but I think it's just, with Jamie Wall, it's a lovely story. Do you know what I mean? He's obviously had tragedy in his life and then he's bounced back, become a very, very astute coach and manager. And then to win a title in a college that he's obviously had a history with, along with his cousin, is kind of special, you know. So, like, the scenes you showed in the video there with guys celebrating, like, some of that comes, obviously, winning is great, but then when you win kind of against the curve, you know, because, to be honest, I expected you well to win that. I presume the vast majority of people expected you well to win that game when you look at the firepower they had. And just Mary I said, a real dogman-like performance. And probably the way they performed was probably embodied the way the two guys managed them, if you know what I mean, coached them. Kind of a kind of fearless go forward attitude. And look, it was nice. And like you said, novel being in Kerry, North Kerry, and the pitch was okay. I thought it didn't help the match, to be honest. Look, we're looking for a fast-paced match, you know what I mean, on like 5G, a 5G surface, and we kind of forget at times that it's mid-February. But the occasion as a whole, that's what kind of the Fitzgibbon was all about, where you bring it to areas or venues that wouldn't be the norm for intercounty games. So, and like, it's just... You know, it's good to see. It's good for the sport, if you ask me. It's good for, you know, college hurling, because I think college hurling is probably coming under a small bit of pressure when you think of the compression that's involved with the intercounty season. I sometimes get the feeling that the intercounty fixture is kind of is congestion converging on top of the college season. And I'm a big advocate for college hurling because I've often said, like, say it's one of the best teams I was ever part of. And like you said, you get one opportunity to play with a specific team. Then the next year, it's like a complete transformation because people move on, people move in. So I'm happy that the competition itself, you know, came across in a really good manner because we had two good semi-finals and a really good final. And like, if you've got good competition where it's close and all the best hurlers at that age are on showcase, the competition has to survive. You know, that's why the Raven Cups, in my view, died. You know, because it just didn't get the traction. It didn't get this, you know, the same kind of respect and effort, if you ask me, that the college hurling gets. And the college hurling gets a ferocious amount of effort from both players and management alike. So like, long may it continue.
Yeah. You spoke about, you know, two lads from the same county going up against each other. Adam Hogan had an incredible game, didn't he?
He was very sharp, yeah. Like, I think it kind of suited him, to be honest, you know. And I think when I'm looking at Mark Rogers or even, you know, even Shane Meaton from Mary Eye or you know, Sean Hannan, Adam English, they're kind of a space pace hurler. So they'd like the ball put into space where they can utilise pace and take on that. And I said, yeah, the pitch was a touch heavy. So, but Hogan is that type of player that we would have said in the past, right? Now, I have to be careful because he's from Clare, that he is beyond the edge to a touch, like, you know what I mean? But he played really well on the edge yesterday. Yes, there's a foul or two, but like he did what he had to do on Rogers. And like, he stemmed a really, really important player for UL. Their captain, their talisman, one of the best forwards, young hunter of the year, etc. The list goes on with that man. And if you can go, if you can take out that man, well, effectively take him out of the game, you do go a long way of beating that position. That's the truth of it, you know. It's like if you go to, you know, take on Kilkenny and you manage to take out Owen Cody, you're 5%, 10% extra the way there, you know what I mean? So if you can have someone in your team who can do that, like, it's priceless. And we often say, and I think it's the reason why, we go back to Tommy Doyle for a second, you know, if Tommy Doyle had much more of a sporting cast, right, we talk about his name more. You know what I mean? So these games are all about, let's say, numbers and matchups. So like, when you get the likes of Adam Hogan put into a good team who can take out Mark Rogers, sure, it's huge for a team, you know, recipe for success.
Right, let's have a quick listen to a bit of Jamie Wallen, because Jamie caught up with Tommy Rooney after the game, and here's what he said, particularly about the importance of that family connection with him and Podge going into the final.
The journey up the road today, you passed by a familiar haunt.
Yeah, I did. It was kind of emotional on the way up, even, like, you know, you spoke about that family connection, but, you know, we obviously have it, myself and Podge. We're first cousins, we're best friends a long, long time, and we kind of grew up together playing football and hurling against each other, with each other. But one of the battlegrounds was our grandparents' farm in Cullen, and I didn't realise it because I went home last night. We met last night in Limerick, and I just said, you know what, I stay in my own bed, and I went home. And I typed into the sat nav this morning for the Devon Inn there in Temple Glanton, and the route took me by Churchill on the Mallow Road in Cullen, and I kind of did a double take. I said, Jesus, that's gone past Nana's house, and sure it was. And so we went past Nana's house and our uncle's house as well, that still has the pitch, and on it's literally on the main Mallow Killarney Road. And like, we had so many days where we kicked lumps out of each other in that field, and just to drive past it this morning was a kind of reminder of what this is all about and what it's been about for us. And it's just it's kind of, you know, like I said it in TG Carr, I said that this is for our grandparents, you know, our Nana and Granda who's no longer with us, but you know, that this kind of, they'd be so proud of the connection that their descendants still have, and so happy with that. And it's a mark of them, and I suppose it's just it just adds to the emotion of the whole thing a small bit.
So he's now a two-time Fitzgibbon winning manager at this point. There's a 7-year gap between the two wins here, but also involved with Cregan in 16. When he initially went to Mary Eye, Paul, it wasn't a case of they were actually at the very top table. So they had to work their way up to Fitzgibbon when he first went in. They were stacked with some of these really high-quality Limerick lads that were there, and they brought the standard up as they went along. But at some point, does Jamie Wall come into consideration for some inter-county jobs here? Because winning two Fitzgibbons would surely put you in the conversation when jobs come up.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, there's different challenges posed with managing Fitzgibbon teams than there is with intercounty, in that, you know, we often talk about intercounty teams maybe having a few years of rebuilding and different things. You don't have that luxury necessarily with Fitzgibbon teams. You have a window, is really what you have. And you also have a window of where players are really developing. They're at the age where they're, you know, a lot of these lads involved with intercounty, senior intercounty teams, and they're going through serious development in terms of the oldest lads. I mean, we saw some of the players there. They're enormous men. And we see some of the younger lads in as well. You know, they still have a bit of a way to go. They're in their early years. They're in their fresher years. But so you have that dynamic that Jamie's managing there. And, you know, he's shown such consistency, you know, from back, like you're saying, with Eamon Cregan's time right up to now, that he has a method, he has an understanding as to how he wants to form these teams together and gel them. And I mean, like, you know, Mary Eye going in underdogs into this as well, you know, he'd be obviously under no illusion of that. But, you know, still keeps coming back with the results. Absolutely, he gets considered for inter-county jobs, and rightly so. I've never sat down any great length with Jamie. Like, we obviously did the podcast with him, the live pod down in Dolan's there 2 years ago. Chatted away to him, and I've met him several times. But, you know, I'd say from what I've seen of him in terms of a manager, I'd say he'd be a very interesting fellow to actually sit down with and I suppose get inside his head in terms of the way he approaches it, because each manager will approach it differently. But no, to bring you back to your point, absolutely, he does surely get considered over the next few years for inter-county jobs. Now, whether what his plan is, you know, I'm probably is something maybe that probably is an itch he wants to scratch. But I think from everything we've seen of him over the last few years, the natural progression will be to step into an inter-county team. And from what we see of, as well, do a really good job at that.
I went down to Meeting Scale in Kilbritton. We were doing a piece, anyone can find it in the Off the Ball YouTube, with himself and Sarah O'Donovan, who are quite good friends, and he's involved with Kilbritton, coaching them in recent times as well. He was doing a bit of help out with particularly scouting for the Cork 20s. And like, he had, it was a few weeks before Cork and Offaly were due to play in the All-Ireland final. And like, he'd an encyclopedia of knowledge about not just the lads who were involved in Cork, but also the teams that they were going to face. I suppose naturally he'd be scouting some of them around Mary Eye anyway.
Yeah.
But this to me is like a guy who's a really good communicator, but also has a really good hurling brain as well.
I think though, certainly yes. And, but I think when you're involved with his skipping team as long as he has a certain, you know, he's a knack for developing a relationship with guys of a certain age. So like, when you asked the question to Murph about inter-county, straight away I'm thinking, well, Ben O'Connor's done really well with the 20s. Could he naturally progress, not to rule Pat Ryan off a job or anything, into the senior role, and then potentially Jamie Wall take into a minor under-20 role, because he seems to knock a good bit of change out of guys at this age group. And like, when you're talking about scouting, like, I think he has to do it. I think if you go draw like an 80-mile radius around Limerick, let's say, you're going to have to say that any guy within that range is capable of playing for Mary Eye. And like, they only have, I could be wrong here, but I think they only have 3 Fitzgibbons in their history. So yes. Like, he's obviously been involved in, you know, in all of them. So to come to a college that hasn't been renowned for tier one hurling college, and then put in a program, as they say in American terms, transform it, and then be successful. That's no easy task, lad. Like, I know it's easy. You can say, you know, you can be really you can contest these competitions with great recruitment, but you still have to go and put pieces together. It's shown yesterday, great recruitment in UL doesn't necessarily transpire into success, you know. So you have to get all the pieces together, yeah, but then you have to make the pieces work. So he seems like a good kind of, the word I'd probably use for Jamie Wall is like a scholar of the game. You know, that like, he's really invested his time into, you know, knowledge, tactical approach, let's say, different, I suppose, methods of trying to stay involved in the game and pursue his own career in a different manner, you know. So, like, I think the future's bright for him. I think he's very well got, because even from talking to a couple of Galway guys, not this year but last year, about him, just randomly, he came up in conversation. They really liked his, you know, his, what was the word that they used? Warmth was the word they used for him. Do you know what I mean? That he was able to approach him really well. So, like, if you've got a guy that you were willing to play for, you know, that's a manager making, obviously.
By the way, I hear your pen clicking in the background. And Kira, who originally had pointed out to us last week, about what was your phrase last week that was the one that particularly stood out, as I just find what was pointed out here. Was it negate? It was negate, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Probably negate, yeah, probably.
So now I'm using
nullify. Yeah. So now, Kira, bring your pipe and smoke it.
There you go. Nullify is fine. But now, instead of negate, the fecker has replaced it with clicking his pen. Was what's been brought up. So,
is she agitated about this, or what's the story? Do I have to stop?
Not necessarily. I don't think so. But I think it was just there was a lot of pen clicking last week. For anyone who wasn't watching it, what I noticed last week, because I put it on the kitchen to have a listen back after we'd recorded, and the first thing I could actually hear was not just the pen clicking, but you dropped the pen a couple of times last week.
I did. I go back on the notes, right, that I'd be writing during the pod or pre. I can't even read half it. I'd be writing it so fast, you know. I don't know why I'm writing it. I'm sorry. It's a healthy habit, though. It's a healthy habit.
Whatever keeps the brain occupied, James. Whatever keeps the brain occupied. Right. What we will do then is we will call us a lot for the Monday pod here, which the boys are giving away a little bit when you keep on hearing yesterday and tomorrow and this type of stuff. We are recording this on Sunday night currently, as opposed to Monday. So it'll be up early on Monday is the good news if you're waiting for a podcast to listen to. What we're going to do on the second pod, we'll have a chat about the hand pass a bit and some of the referee comments. We're going to look at inter-county spending on the OTB members pod as well, and we'll have a bit of a look ahead, a very early look ahead to the games that are taking place next weekend after the break as well. But for now, lads, Paul Murphy, thanks a million.
Thanks very much, lads.
James Gale, keep clicking the pen. two for free there, Kira. Right, we shall talk to you next week if you're not involved in the members pod. But I would encourage, if you are someone who messaged me earlier today, even if you're not becoming a subscriber, and obviously we would naturally say you're getting fantastic value if you sign up for the whole OTB package and you can listen to every Off the Ball podcast and not just us. Also, if you just sign up on the app and you want to get a bit of a taste for things, you can get 3 free pods and you can go, hey, you know what, the members pod might actually be good after the lads have a round of hurling to talk about next week. Have a sample. You can do 3 free a month if you sign up on the Off the Ball app as well. You don't have to make a commitment to any payments. Just sign up and you can get 3 free ones a month there as well. Offtheball.com/join if you are thinking of becoming a member. But as I stress every single week, if you're going to sign up in your preferred method. So if you're a Spotify user, go there. Go to Apple Pods if that's where you use. Use the app if you're elsewhere. And use YouTube if you prefer to watch us and you want to watch the members pod each week. All right, we shall leave it there for this week. For the Monday pod, we'll be back with a members pod, which will be available on Tuesday as well.
OTB's The Hurling Pod.
With Bord Gáis Energy. Proud sponsors of the Senior Hurling Championship.